So as I mentioned, today is the commemoration of the appearance of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So let's first discuss about his, what we call the ontological position. Basically, that means who he is. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is Srimati Radharani. So who is Srimati Radharani? Srimati Radharani is the feminine aspect of the absolute truth. We in Krishna consciousness have a complete understanding of the absolute truth. I know in the Western religion, the Western religions are rather chauvinistic. I think everybody knows what that means. Chauvinistic means male domination. And so that is an imperfect understanding. In fact, you know, you have God the Father who's getting really angry at everybody and jealous. And he does all sorts of things and encourages people to actually do terrorist activities. And we're not talking about Muslim religion right now. We're talking about the Jewish religion. In the Jewish religion, God was encouraging the Jews when they were escaping from Egypt to kill every man, woman, child, and animal in the villages they went through. At least that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying God actually did that. So the it's called the Abrahamic religions. Do you understand what that means? Abrahamic. That means coming from Abraham. So there's three Abrahamic religions. There's Judaism, Christianity, and the Islamic tradition. And basically, they're all real male-dominated. Like in the Islamic tradition, you know, the women are just considered... Anyway, they should just cover themselves completely and to be not seen and not heard. And in Christianity, of course... One of the main preachers in Christianity was Mary Magdalene. I don't know if you knew this. She was actually a very prominent preacher. And the story of the prostitute was connected to Mary Magdalene later on, about 300 or 400 years after Christ disappeared. So they're different persons. You know, just a little historical information for you. That they sort of amalgamated it to denigrate Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, I mean, of course, there's some rumors that she was married to Jesus Christ, but that's a different issue. I'm not going to get into that controversy right there. Not only because of the movie, but because there actually are rumors or there is some indication. But in any case, she was a very prominent preacher. She led many preaching expeditions, and she was a very dynamic individual. But... after a few hundred years, they decided to sort of write her off, you know, cross out that part of history. It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know if any of you knew that. Very, very dynamic preacher. One of the best preachers amongst Lord Jesus' followers. So you have it. So the point I make is there's a lot of, you know, chauvinism or anti-woman fervor in the Abrahamic religions traditionally. In the Vedic tradition, we're talking about the Vedic tradition, not India the way it is today. India the way it is today has very little to do with the Vedic tradition. It's a mixture of some remnants of the Vedic tradition, the invasions from the original Muslims. Then the Mughals came in. Mughals were the people who are descendants of Genghis Khan. I don't know if anyone's heard of Genghis Khan. From Mongolia. Sometimes they call them Mongols. But they're Mughals. Anyway, so it's just a mixture of different cultures. And even the Hindi language, as it is spoken today, has a lot of Arabic words in it. If you study Hindi, which I'm doing. For example... The word for man, or young man, of course, in Hindi today is larka. Does anyone here speak Hindi? Yeah, you speak Hindi. It's larka. Whereas the original word in Hindi, before it became contaminated, was kumara, which is the same as Sanskrit. You know, Sanskrit, kumara, kumari, larka, larki. And that larka is actually an Arabic word. It's not actually a Hindi word. although now it's Hindi. Now, of course, there's so many words that are in Hindi. Computer is a word in Hindi and everything. So the point I'm making is that the Indian culture has actually become completely mixed and contaminated, and so many problems are there in every culture around the world, of course. Not only the Indian culture. But the original Vedic culture didn't allow mobile phones. But oh, Maharani, it's good to see you. Maharani, the great queen. That's what it means. Did you know that? The big queen. And actually, they call sannyasis, the funny thing is they call sannyasis Maharaj, but it means big passion.
Yes.
It's not a traditional name for sannyasis. It only actually was only started with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. They started calling sannyasis Maharaj. Before it was just Swami. Mm-hmm. So, getting back to the point. So in the Vedic culture, you actually have a more complete understanding of the Absolute. It's not that God is just He or just She. It's a combination, Radha, Krishna. Like we're worshiping the deities, Radha and Krishna. Or Hare Krishna, that's Radha and Krishna. Radha in the vocative form. Vocative means to call out. That's a technical linguistic term. To call out. So anyway, the absolute truth is Radha and Krishna. And not only Radha and Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya appeared with all of his associates, Sango Pangashta Parshanam. That means Krishna, when Krishna comes, he doesn't come alone. It's not just Krishna and Radha. It's Krishna and Radha with all their various associates, right? Like when you have Radha and Krishna, you have Lalita, Vishakha, and Krishna's associates, what, Madhu Mangal, the funny Brahmin boy? I think you all know about him. Who does very funny tricks. Anyway, there's the whole entourage. The whole group of people, they all appear together. And there's literally tens of thousands or millions of Nitya Parshadas, that means eternal associates of Krishna. So when Lord Chaitanya appeared 500 years ago, a little more than 500 now, he came with his associates, but his associates took on different guises. That is, sometimes some of the female associates, they took on male guises. Which is interesting. Of course, nowadays that would be very much politically correct, right? So for example, Radharani took on the guise of a male Brahmin, right? Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. It's really interesting. And Lord Chaitanya, of course, he's Krishna, but he takes on the mood of Radharani. A female mood. So it's really interesting if you see this. You know, it's really, let's say, on the cutting edge. Isn't it? I think it would be very much appreciated by the people we were talking about this morning, isn't it?
At least people on the cutting edge.
Yes, really. Maybe in the deep south you'd have some problems with it. But anyways, what's that? Oh, the garland. Some gardenias. Gardenias. So it's really, you know, it's really Krishna consciousness in the Vedic tradition is on the cutting edge there. So you have, and then you have, of course, in the other members of the Panchatattva are Narada Muni and Srivas, and of course both male forms.
And Srivas married is,
yeah,
Srivas.
Yeah, Srivas got married, but he lost his only kid though.
He didn't have more than
him? No, that was it. Just one kid. And then Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya became his sons after that point. And then so you have Srivas, and then, of course, Advaitacharya and Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda is Balaram Hoila Nitai. Then you have Advaitacharya, who is Sadashiva, Mahavishnu. So these are different associates. And, of course, there's so many other associates, too. These are just the five primary associates. You have the Lord, his first expansion, then you have the incarnation, Advaitacharya, you know, three Vishnu Tattva personalities, then you have Shakti Tattva, Gadadhar, Pandit Goswami, and you have Jiva Tattva, Srivas Thakur. So this is called the Pancha Tattva. Tattva means like the truth. More than just the truth, it means the isness, the essential aspect of something. Tattva. You know, the what is there. Basically, what is there. So Pancha means five. So the Pancha Tattva. So Gadadhar Pandit, let's get back to the point of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. He is Radharani, but his mood is a little bit different than Radharani's mood. Because Radharani is one of the gopis that's mom, or left-handed gopi. There's right-handed gopis and left-handed gopis. The right-handed gopis are the ones who agree with whatever Krishna does. They just go, yes, sir. Yeah, it's submissive. And the left-handed gopis, they're the ones who basically sometimes oppose what Krishna says or wants. And they get angry with Krishna. That's the mood of Radharani. Of course, it's all to please Krishna. Krishna, like they say, variety is the mother of enjoyment, or spice of life. There's two things. Like in spices, if you're cooking a sabji, sometimes you put in hot peppers, right? Especially from Bengal or India, they love hot peppers. Isn't it? Sometimes you put cumin seeds, hot peppers, black pepper, asafoetida. And when you mix them, it becomes very tasty. I mean, the hot pepper by itself is not so tasty. But, of course, in Bengal, sometimes they do like hot peppers by themselves. But generally, it's a mixture. It makes everything very, very tasty, right? It's called masala. Masala means a tasty mixture of different spices. So, therefore, in relationships, too, masalas make very tasty relationships. For example, you know, if one has, let's say if one is married and the wife is always agreeing with them, it gets boring after some time. I'm sure it does. Right, Yogendra? It gets boring.
I've never had that
experience. So it gets boring if the wife is submissive. Of course, if the wife is always unsubmissive, that's not so good either. So, but there's a mixture. So it makes life spicy, right? It makes life interesting. Life is meant to be interesting, not just, you know, just like, yes, sir, like in the army. It makes life very interesting when there's some opposition like that. And even in India, they say that someone who always says yes to you, there's a name for it, chamcha or chamach in Hindi, which means a spoon. That's like an insult. If you say to someone, you're someone's chamcha, isn't it? It's like an insult. It's like you're just a yes man. And of course, the politicians in India, they all have their chamchas or their yes men. If you study Indian politics. So, but it's interesting when there's some opposition or some disagreement. Even we find in Tamal Krishnamurti's relationship with Prabhupada, that Prabhupada would consult with Tamal Krishnamurti, and Tamal Krishnamurti would sometimes give advice to Prabhupada, and Prabhupada appreciated that. Actually, more than someone who would just say, yes, sir, yes, sir. Like Prabhupada talked about a disciple who would always say yes to his spiritual master. So the spiritual master, Prabhupada told the story, he said the spiritual master was asking for different things that cost money. So the spiritual master said, get me this, and the disciple said, yes, sir. But what the disciple didn't tell the spiritual master is that he was taking money out of the spiritual master's bank account to buy all those things. This is a Prabhupada story. And so the disciple said, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. And finally the guru looked at his bank account and there was a negative balance. He had overdrawn his bank account. He said, why did you do this, you rascal? He said to the disciple. And the disciple said, you were just asking me. So in the Bhagavad Gita, in the verse, commentary of the verse, Tad Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprashanena, Prabhupada said, blind following, and of course, absurd inquiries are condemned. So we don't advocate blind following. That's cult behavior. You know, like you have, what was that, Jim Jones? And where he told his followers to drink the poison Kool-Aid. You've heard about that before? That was many years ago, before most of you were born. But we don't want that sort of stuff. Of course, we don't like poison Kool-Aid either. That's too much sodium in it. So, increases the blood pressure. So, we want people with brains, you know. So Krishna also likes that with his favorite associate is Radharani, who is one of the Vam, or left-handed, or the primary left-handed gopi who talks back to Krishna. And sometimes she's even threatening Krishna, or has her associates raise sticks in the air to threaten to beat Krishna. And one time, she and her associates tied Krishna and his associates to a tree because they wanted to collect taxes, and they overpowered them. And they were threatening them with sticks. That's a famous Dhananivartana Kund pastime that occurs in Vrindavan. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami has a slightly different mood than Radharani normally has. He's submissive to Lord Chaitanya. Whereas Radharani, she's unsubmissive mood. Of course, that's, as I said before, that's to give Krishna pleasure. So the reason that is that we have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is in the mood of Radharani, so he's taken on that mood of Radharani, that unsubmissive mood. You understand? And so Gadadhar Pandit Goswami is not exhibiting that, even though he is Radharani, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the mood of Radharani. It's a little bit esoteric there, but at least it's explaining Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's mood. So let's talk about Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's life. So he appeared in Navadvip, and he was 1 year younger than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were always spending time with each other, Lord Chaitanya and Gadadhar Pandit. They're very, very close. And Gadadhar had so much affection for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he could not leave Lord Chaitanya's association even for a moment. And Lord Chaitanya, another name for Lord Chaitanya, in fact, is Gadadhar Prananath, which means the life and soul of Gadadhar Pandit. So they were so close. Their relationship was so close and so intimate like that. So, of course, later on, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu grew up, he enacted the pastimes of a logician. The name in Sanskrit for logic is Nyaya. You understand? Nyaya, N-Y-A-Y-A, Nyaya. That's one of the darshans, or the six primary philosophies taught by the Vedic culture. So he exhibited extreme qualities as a logician. In fact, he was so logical that he would confront the devotees and defeat them in argumentation. And the devotees were quite upset, of course. Here was this great logician, and nobody could defeat Lord Chaitanya. As we know, he conquered that Keshava Kashmiri, the pandit who went around conquering everybody through argumentation. What we call in the West sophistry. He was very expert in sophistry. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was the opposite. He was always a great devotee of the Supreme, always exhibiting the qualities of great devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya, of course, was always feeling internal devotion, because he was in the mood of Radharani, but he exhibited specific pastimes as a logician. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was also very, let's say, whimsical and fickle as a young boy, whereas Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was very very serious, and was fond of solitude. Of course, we know that Lord Chaitanya, he would go to the brahmanas who were bathing in the Ganges River, saying their Gayatri mantras, and he would dive under the water and pull their feet from out under them as they were saying Gayatri, and he would spit in their faces, steal their shivalingas, switch the women's clothes for the men's clothes. Talk about cross-dressing. So It's a fact. You know, the poor Brahmins, they would get out of the water and they would find a bunch of, like, saris and women's clothes there. And they didn't know what to do with it. And the women would find a bunch of dhotis dress. So it was quite embarrassing for everybody. So, Lord, in other words, Lord Chaitanya was extremely whimsical. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was not in that same mood. And Gadadhar Pandit Goswami would sometimes try to advise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Generally, he would keep a distance from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And one day, Lord Chaitanya went to Gadadhar Pandit, and he said to him, Gadadhar, don't worry, one day I will become such a great devotee that all the demigods will worship me. So Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, boy, not only is this guy just a logician, but he's so puffed up. I mean, can you imagine if one devotee came here and said, you know, like if Yogendra came to me and said, I'm going to be such a great devotee, Maharaj, that even the demigods are going to come to worship me one day. I said, it's gone to your head. Being in charge of New Taliban has really gone to your head here. You know, you really need a vacation. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was thinking about that towards Lord Chaitanya. Gadadhar Pandit Goswami's intimate friend was Mukunda Datta. Mukunda Datta's brother, of course, was the famous Vasudev Datta. And Mukunda Datta and him would go, Mukunda Datta and Gadadhar Pandit, they would go to different places and see Vaishnavas. And once upon a time, this great Vaishnava, who was very well known to Mukunda Datta, his name was Pundarik Vijaniti, came to visit Navadvip. And of course, Pundarik Vijaniti came from the same village as Mukunda Datta. That's how we knew him so well. And so, but in general, the Vaishnavas in Navadvip didn't know Pundarik Vijaniti. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was very much aware of who Pundarik Vijaniti was. Pundarik Vijaniti was Vrishabhanu in Krishna's pastimes. Vrishabhanu, of course, is the father of Srimati Radharani. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would always be crying out for Pundarik, oh father, oh father. And nobody knew what he was saying. They thought he meant Krishna. Because Krishna is called, what, Pundarikaksham. That means one who has lotus eyes. Pundarikaksham is a name for Krishna. So nobody knew that Lord Chaitanya was calling out for this Pundarik Vijaniti. So Pundarik Vijaniti came to town. And Mukunda knew that he was in town, and Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, or he was simply Gadadhar Pandit at that particular time, that this great Vaishnava has come. So Gadadhar, being very enthusiastic, went with him. Oh, well, let's go see this great Vaishnava. They went to see Pundarik Vijaniti, but Gadadhar Pandit was disappointed, to say the least, because he saw this great Vaishnava living a very opulent life. You know, generally, you know, spiritualists, you want to see them be a little austere, right? I mean, wouldn't come to the temple and see a spiritualist wearing a cravat, you know, which, like it's a fancy tie, and have all sorts of jewelry. Can you imagine, you know, if I walked in the temple and I had, like, gold rings and gold bracelets and pearl necklaces, and I was chewing betel nut. People would say, he's got some problems there. We better consult the GBC. So in the same way, Pundarik Vijaniti was chewing betel nut, which, you know, turns your lips reddish like that. And he had, like, golden spittoons right around his bed. He was sitting on a very opulent bedstead, like a four-poster bed. I think you all know what a four-poster bed is. It means four poles in each of the corners. And there was silk on the top, silk brocade on the top, and silk sheets. And he was sitting there like a dapper gentleman. That's an English word, actually. And he was chewing betel nut. And so when Gadadhar Pandit saw that, he thought, what kind of a Vaishnava is this? Huh? This guy is a materialist. Naturally, we judge people externally. So Mukunda his friend understood what Gadara was thinking. And therefore, he began to sing verses from a part of the Srimad Bhagavatam, especially extolling the compassion that Krishna had upon Putana. Putana was a witch. She was killing young children. Everybody knows that? I think some of you have read Krishna book. So Putana was a witch. But what happened is she tried to kill Krishna, and then Krishna accepted her as his mother and allowed her to go to the spiritual world. Can you imagine such compassion? Someone comes to kill you, and you just love them? I mean, you don't find that in ordinary dealings. Just like I was reading the news this morning, I heard that the Americans had attacked bin Laden, right?
Killed him.
They killed him.
Yeah,
they killed him. So what happened is that in the middle of all the cities, they were having like wild parties celebrating. Did you know that?
Yeah, they showed on TV last night from the White House.
Yeah, I checked the news on my iPhone this morning
and
on the way here. But Krishna was the opposite. He killed Putana and he made her his mother. Pretty good, isn't it? That's pretty nice of Krishna. How compassionate he is that even if you approach... Of course, we should not approach him to kill him. But there's so many instances like that. Even in our Krishna conscious movement, one of my disciples in Fiji, he was living next to the Hare Krishna temple. And the devotees would have kirtan, would keep him up at night. He would get angry, you know, think, you know, I'm going to attack these people. He was eating meat and everything like that. He said, I can't stand it, and, you know, call the police. This is hellish. You know, just feeling so much anger. And what aggravated him even more is that his daughters wanted to go to the temple all the time. And whenever he left the house, they snuck and went to the temple, which is right next door. So his whole family was seeing them taken away by those ridiculous Hare Krishna people. And so he was really upset. But he was hearing holy names at the same time, like Jagai and Madai. And now he's one of the best devotees. You know, just like he's a teacher, educated, and his daughters became devotees and initiated, and his wife became initiated. And then now he's a great devotee. I mean, he gives speeches about Krishna consciousness now. So that's how merciful Lord Chaitanya is, like Krishna. Hey Krishna Kodana Sindhu. Isn't it? Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute. So when Pundarik Vidyaniti heard this verse or these verses extolling the mercy of Krishna, he went into ecstasy. And he kicked apart his whole bedstead and he was foaming at the mouth and rolling on the ground, went unconscious. And when Gadadhar Pandit saw this, he thought, wow, I've made a mistake. This person really is a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's actually a Mahabhagavat. So there's no other way to mitigate this offense other than to take shelter of him when he comes back to external consciousness and take initiation from him. And so he resolved to do that. And when Pundarik Vidyaniti came back to external consciousness, Mukunda explained what had happened to Pundarik Vidyaniti. And Pundarik Vidyaniti said, it is only by great fortune, after many, many lifetimes, that one gets a disciple like Gadadhar Pandit. So, of course, Pundarik Vidyaniti, as I said, is Vrishabhanu, Radharani's father, and Gadadhar Pandit is Radharani. So this is their eternal relationship, you know, father-daughter, like that, isn't it? Father-child. So they're just reenacting their eternal relationship. So other interesting stories that show that the intimate relationship that Gadadhar Pandit had with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was one time when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was exhibiting the qualities of a great Vaishnava experiencing Vipralamba Seva. That means intense separation from Krishna. And he went to Gadadhar. He said, where is Shyamasundara? Where is Krishna? Show me where he is. And Lord Chaitanya began to weep and cry at that time. And Gadadhar Pandit said, he's in your heart. But then Lord Chaitanya took that literally, and it is literal that Krishna's in our heart, but he took it in a different way than we would normally take it. He started to tear apart the skin on his chest, as if to see Krishna. And Gadadhar grabbed his hands and said, no, this is not appropriate. If you remain patient, Krishna will reveal himself to you. So you don't have to do this. And then Sachimata, who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mother, said, this boy is very intelligent. You should always remain with Chaitanya, would always remain with Nimai to protect him. So Gadadhar was the chief assistant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was performing his pastimes in Navadvip. Later on, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Jagannath Puri, Gadadhar Pandit followed him. Gadadhar Pandit never got married in his life, in his pastimes. He followed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and served the Tota Gopinath deities. Anybody here has been to Jagannath Puri? I'm sure some of you have, or most of you have. Yeah. So these Tota Gopinath deities are very, the deity is very interesting. He is one of the few deities, big deity of Krishna, that's sitting down rather than standing up. And the reason he's sitting down is when Gadadhar Pandit Goswami got older and he was unable to care for the large deities, a very large deity, like life size, even larger than life. He was unable to care for the deity because the deity was so tall. The deity sat down to allow Gadadhar Pandit to care for him. So that's why Tota Gopinath. And in fact, that same deity is the deity which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered into when he left this world. And this deity also is the deity which Gadadhar Pandit entered into when he left this world. And if you go to the pujari, you give them a donation, which usually works in India. The pujari will lift the skirt of the deity and you can see the golden streak on the deity, which they say Lord Chaitanya entered into that part of the deity. Anyone seen that? It's 100 rupees.
And
it's sitting down in lotus position. And if you have a group of 20 people, the pujari makes 2,000 rupees. We had a group of 20 people and the pujari became very wealthy as a result of that. So, Gadadhar Pandit, every day in Jagannath Puri, would teach a Srimad Bhagavatam class, and Lord Chaitanya would come to the Bhagavatam class. So Lord Chaitanya would relish hearing from Gadadhar Pandit. See, another story, just one other story about Gadadhar Pandit. This is the famous story from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Once upon a time, when Lord Chaitanya was leaving Jagannath Puri to go on pilgrimage, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami tried to follow him. And this shows the intense mood and love between the two personalities. And of course, this is good for us to understand the Vaishnava love that has to be exhibited between the devotees, you know, great love and affection between the devotees. You see this continually in the pastimes of great Vaishnavas. So Gadadhar Pandit tried to go with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But, however, Gadadhar Pandit had taken a vow to always serve Tota Gopinath, to not leave Jagannath Puri. That vow is called, technically it's a vow of Kshetra Sannyas, to remain in one place. Sannyas means to renounce. Actually, it means to renounce and accept, which is interesting. Most people think the word sannyas means just to renunciate. But it's composed of two words, san and yas. It means to accept and reject. Did you know that? Because just to reject is nyas. You'd call someone a nyasi or yati. Just like there's a place in Govardhan called Yatipur, the place of the sannyasi. So that's Hindi, of course. So that nyas means to renounce. Sannyas, you understand? Means to accept and renounce. To accept everything favorable for Krishna consciousness and reject everything unfavorable. So Kshetra Sannyas means one who acts in that mentality and remains in one place, takes a vow to remain in one place, and sometimes even with the family. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that is the preferable stage of renunciation in Kali Yuga. So Gadadhar Pandit had taken that vow in relationship to Tota Gopinath. So when Lord Chaitanya left, he tried to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you have taken this vow of Kshetra Sannyas, you should return. And he said to Lord Chaitanya, wherever you are going is the same as Jagannath Puri. And then even said something heavier. He said, let my vow of Kshetra Sannyas go to hell. That's from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was Prabhupada's direct words. And then Lord Chaitanya said, if you abandon Tota Gopinath's service, it will be taken as my fault because you're following me. So you should go there and render service to Tota Gopinath. That will be my, for me, my satisfaction. Hmm. But still, Gadadhar Pandit followed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, a little distance, so Lord Chaitanya couldn't chastise him too much. So he followed him, and they arrived at a place called Cuttack, which is very nice, very close to Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called him. He said, come here, I want to tell you something. And Lord Chaitanya said, you have abandoned your vow of Kshetra Sannyas. So you should not go any further. Your wanting to come with me is simply a desire for sense gratification. Of course it wasn't. It was a desire to be with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He said, you are breaking two regulated principles. One is you're engaged in trying to gratify your senses. Another one is that you've broken your vow of Kshetra Sannyas. Hmm. So saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got in a boat and Gadadhar Pandit just fainted. And he was unable to follow Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later on, of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Jagannath Puri and he remained with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for some time until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this world, entered into the Tota Gopinath deity, and Gadadhar Pandit left shortly thereafter. He had given association to Srinivasacharya. If you remember that story from Srinivasacharya's pastimes, that Srinivasacharya went to Jagannath Puri to get association with the Vaishnavas and learn Srimad Bhagavatam, but when he got there, the only Srimad Bhagavatam they had was the one that was read by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that Srimad Bhagavatam was not legible because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had cried and all the writing had actually smeared in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Gadadhar Pandit Goswami was there, but then Srinivasacharya was instructed to go to get another copy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, but when he got back, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami had already left. So that's one of the stories about Srinivasacharya. So in any case, today is the appearance day of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, so we remember Gadadhar Pandit Goswami in terms of his pastimes with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his mood of service. His mood of giving up everything to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his mood of absolute surrender, his mood of dedication and devotion to the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his ontological position as Srimati Radharani serving the Lord in that particular aspect. So, any questions or comments? Yes.
I know that you said that Radharani, Lord Chaitanya takes on her mood.
Yeah.
So, but not harp on it, who's definitely in a masculine role, like as far as the associate goes, he's really attached. But now, I noticed in my form, the deity, Gadadhar Pandit, they're always dressing in paint, putting more flowers, and I don't know if that's supposed to just remind us, well, that's Radharani, or...
Yeah.
Is there anything deeper than that, of that, or is it just, how should we see that?
Well, to remind us he's Radharani, because he dressed in a masculine form. Mm-hmm. It's not that he wore pink. I mean, you might say this is pink. I mean, I guess it's close. It's pretty far away from pink, but anyway. But it's not that. He dressed like a regular man. It's just the internal mood. The internal mood. It's not that he changed his dress style. Like that, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of Radharani, but we don't dress Lord Chaitanya in a sari. At least I haven't seen that. I mean, there's a certain mood. When we worship Lord Chaitanya, first of all, we worship him as a householder. We don't worship him on the altar as a sannyasi. I know you shouldn't take Gornatai deities and, you know, take off their hair one day and put a little gumsha on them and give them a danda. I don't think that would be appropriate. When I was a new devotee, I'll tell you, interesting story. I didn't understand that. I was in the movement 1 year or something. And I had Gordon Tidides, and I did that with them. I put little dandas behind them and dressed them in saffron dhotis. But Prabhupada said we worship Gordon Tai in the mood of householders. You know, because a devotee does not like to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a renounced situation. They'd like to see him with full opulence being worshipped. So as far as how they dress him, I mean, that's to remind us, I guess, that Gadadharpanda Goswami is Radharani. But, you know, if your question is whether he was effeminate, no, he wasn't.
No, that wasn't my question. I just wondered if the devotees are following the proper mood when they dress Gadadhar that way. But, I mean, is it just something that we should...
I wouldn't want to comment on that because I don't want to offend Vaishnavas. However, if you go into the Gaudiya Math temples where they do generally have deities of Gaur-Gadadhar, you won't see them dressing Gaur-Gadadhar that way. And in the Gaudiya Math temples, which were started, of course, by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were generally... practically 99% of the time worshipping Gaur-Gadadhar, not Gaur-Natai. It was Prabhupada who actually established the widespread worship of Gaur-Natai everywhere. Like in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house, in Godrandrup, you see Gaur-Gadadhar deities there. So Gaur-Natai, it's a very interesting question, you know, why did Prabhupada do that? Some people speculate that that indicates Prabhupada's, you know, rasa with Krishna, but it doesn't really. What it indicates is Prabhupada's understanding that in order to, for us to become Krishna conscious, we needed the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Yeah, Gadadhar Pandit Goswami, his position is quite elevated. Whereas Lord Nityananda, he's going, Dinahina Yata Chilo Harinamu Durilo, he's going to the most fallen, and also the elevated, to everybody, and asking them to chant Hare Krishna. Even when he approached Jagai and Madai, I mean, Haridas Thakur warned him. He said, you know, you're going to get us in trouble. And the first time they approached Jagan Madai, they did get in trouble. Jagan Madai were running after them to attack them. And Haridas Thakur was saying, you know, this Lord Chaitanya, he sent me with this Avaduta who's causing trouble. He's going to get us killed here. So Lord Nityananda is so merciful, and Prabhupada understood that for his mission to be successful, he needed to invoke the presence of Lord Nityananda. So the appropriate deities for us are Gaur-Natai. So that differentiates us from the Gaudiya Math.
What do we do about the criticism that sometimes comes from the Gaudiya Math that we shouldn't be worshipping Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda, who is Krishna and Balaram, along with Radha and Krishna?
Why not?
They say it's inappropriate because Krishna is elder brother, Balaram is there, Radharani, that we would worship Radha and Krishna.
Prabhupada did say that you can't have Balaram close to Radharani. Yeah, Prabhupada did say that. But they're separate altars there. I mean, they're basically separate altars. There's Lord Chaitanya. And then... Hino Vinay Vitaivai Radha Krishna Poite Nai. Without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one will never understand Radha Krishna Poite Nai. We'll never understand Radha and Krishna. Hino Nitai. So that, you know, Narottama Das Thakur specifically mentions that in his prayers, isn't it? Nitai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. Isn't it? That Hino Nitai. So without the mercy of Lord Nityananda, one cannot approach Radha and Krishna. So do they may criticize us, but they're differing in opinion from Narottama Das Thakur. Now, Prabhupada said we do not put Balaram. Prabhupada was referring specifically in that case to the Jagannath deities, where people put Balaram, you know, the Balaram of the Jagannath deities was right next to Radha and Krishna. Prabhupada never referred in that way to Gaur-Natai. But it's separate altars. It's separate altars. You really don't want to have Gornatai, like, practically touching Radha and Krishna. Yes, that's true. That is a different mood. But however, like we have here is fine. And Prabhupada wanted it like that. Prabhupada installed deities like that. Who are they to criticize Prabhupada? And because Prabhupada understood, the proof that Prabhupada understood who Lord Nityananda was and the relationship, the proof is that he was able to spread Krishna consciousness in a way that was unprecedented, that nobody else had ever done. That his godbrothers, you know, who go around criticizing what Prabhupada did, but they were unable to do it. I mean, let them create. Like, there's one funny story I just heard. That sometimes devotees, they would get in trouble doing different sankirtan things, you know, in different countries. So Prabhupada's godbrothers would criticize. Like this also happened in Japan and Germany. So Prabhupada's godbrothers would come with this newspaper article. Oh, look at this. Your devotees have done this and done that. And yes, but Prabhupada said, yes, but they are there in Germany and Japan. Nobody from your organization is there. You know, in other words, they're there to get in trouble, but, you know, nobody from your organization is there.
What about the modern followers in the Gaudiya Math, the different groups like the Sridhar group or the Narayana group? Who do they worship? Is it Gadadhar Chaitanya or is it...
Usually it's Gaur Gadadhar.
Gurgadadhar,
because that's what they've been taught. I mean, that's fine in their disciplic succession. I'm not criticizing worship of Gurgadadhar. It's wonderful worship. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshiped Gurgadadhar. So that's there in our disciplic succession. However, Prabhupada did make the adjustment of focusing on Gornatai. And that was a very intelligent adjustment. And the proof of that is that we're here today. You know, that's the proof of the pudding, so to speak. I mean, Gurgadadhar is very elevated worship. Gornatai, Prabhupada said there's no offenses in worshiping Gornatai. There's offenses in worshiping Radha and Krishna. Right? Very dangerous. There's something called a Pujari graveyard. You ever hear of that before?
Yeah.
Pujari graveyard, you know, there's tombstones everywhere. So-and-so Pujari, 1969 to 73. And on the tombstone, it's the epitaph says, he became too familiar with the deities. Therefore, he passed away and has taken another birth. So, you know, Radha Krishna is very elevated worship. And Gaur Gadadhar worship is very elevated. Because you got the mixture of the different rasas and moods there. That's very intricate. You got Lord Chaitanya, who is in the mood of Radharani, but he's Krishna. And you have Radharani, who doesn't have her same submissive mood. Doesn't have the same unsubmissive mood, sorry. And she's with Krishna, but Krishna is in the mood of Radharani. It's a little complicated. It's much easier to understand Lord Nityananda's Balaram, Balam Hoyla Nitai, Nayamatva Balahinena Lavva. The Balaram is the original spiritual master. So we're worshiping the original spiritual master along with Krishna. And by the mercy of Lord Nityananda and Lord Nityananda's representative, the spiritual master, one can approach Krishna. It's very, you know, it's very easy, it's very linear. You understand the word linear? It's really straightforward, you know, it's just linear, you know. It's very logical. Here's Krishna. I mean, here's the original spiritual master. Here's the original spiritual master's representative, our present spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, or our guru. And then we go to Lord Nityananda. Then we go to Lord Chaitanya. You understand? And finally we go to the six Goswamis of Vrindavan. So it's quite a linear progression. Whereas the other thing is just like random access. You understand random access? Like a computer, random access? You really got to be all over the place. It's like a neural network. It's easier for us to understand linear things, right? And also, we need Lord Nityananda's mercy. And if we didn't have Lord Nityananda on the altar, we'd be in big trouble. Isn't it? Big, big trouble. Because he's really freeing us from all this other stuff that's going on in our minds and our activities like that. So, any other questions or comments?
Maharaj,
yeah.
I was in San Jose, California. They have Radha Krishna and just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah.
Same altar.
That's fine.
Yeah. I saw a big, long names of devotees, Pujaris who pass in there. And everybody's like kicking.
Kicking?
Leaving.
Oh, leaving, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. The Gaudiya Math, in fact, in, where is that, Mathura, in Keshava Maharaj's Math, Prabhupada donated the Lord Chaitanya deity. So worshipping Lord Chaitanya with Radha and Krishna on the same altar is fine. You know, that on the same altar, that's fine. But Lord Nityananda, yes, there is some Rasa-Vas, you know, combination there. So therefore, you have a separate altar. So the progression. First, you go to Gaur Nittai, get Lord Nityananda's mercy, approach Lord Chaitanya, then you can worship Radha and Krishna. That's the way we do the arti here, isn't it? Just to approach Radha and Krishna directly, you have to be very elevated. And even in temples where we just have Radha and Krishna, we have pictures of the Panchatattva on the altar. So we approach Radha and Krishna through Panchatattva. It's a very important principle. So any other questions or comments? Yeah.
The mantra, Nitai Gauranga.
Yeah.
How, does that go back decades, centuries?
I don't know. You have to look it up. You know, Nitai Gauranga, you know, but basically, Prabhupada didn't really want us chanting so much of Nitai Gauranga or Nitai Gaur Haribo. He wanted us chanting Hare Krishna, the two Maha Mantras, Panchatattva Maha Mantra and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Prabhupada said, concentrate on that. When devotees got too much into chanting, you know, they'll chant Nitai Gaur Hari Bo for 15 minutes. Prabhupada said, you know, we'd stop the kirtan. He said, you know, chant Hare Krishna. So there's a method that Prabhupada has given us to chant the holy names. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with chanting Nitai Gaur. Of course, there's some bogus groups that chant Nitai Gaur with other mantras too. Radhe Shyam. Yeah, Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, like that. But Prabhupada said you can chant Nitai Gaur, Radhe Shyam, Jai Krishna Balaram. He said, that way you're paying obeisances to our Vrindavan deities.
Yeah, it's the
three deities. Yeah, he said, Jai Nitai Gaur. Radhe Shyam, Jai Krishna Balaram. You understand? So Prabhupada said you can do that. But, you know, we don't chant it as a mantra. We just, obviously, you go, you know. Anyway, we don't make up mantras. The mantras have to be given by acharyas. And the acharya mantras we have are Hare Krishna and Panchatattva, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya. So, I think it's time to end. Right, so today we are celebrating the appearance of Siddhartha Pandit Goswami. All glories to his divine grace. Srila Prabhupada.